Welcome to Three in the Key.
The conversations that you guys had.
How come I couldn't get you to come to the Clippers?
I don't know. We'll talk about that another time.
Maybe tomorrow.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North. With your hosts, Elias Elzane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Welcome inside the key for another episode of Three in the Key. Elias Elzane alongside Will Macklin.
Hello.
And only Will Macklin again.
Oh, man. I don't know. Dave's slumping. Back in D.C., though.
D.C. now. He's in D.C. Cottage last week, D.C. this week. Living the great life.
He's a busy boy. I mean, this weekend's a big... There's a WWE event. Maybe he's there for that. I mean...
Maybe. We should have sent you as our correspondent.
Yeah, go see the Verizon Center. Yeah, go see Battleground.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna... Still looking for applicants, I think.
Yeah.
And resumes.
We got some coming up in this hour.
Yeah, we do. We think we might have found someone. But remember, you can get a hold of us for anything. If you want us to talk about something or tackle a specific subject, the3nikki@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3nikki. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at the3nikki. And make sure to go rate and review us on iTunes. That's one place where you can hear us. On SoundCloud, yeah. Stitcher, TuneIn, all those places, and make sure to visit our website, three in the key.ca. You can find all our links all there, and subscribe, like, follow, and rate and review us.
Definitely, those are huge. If you rate those, we can get the front page of the podcast and on Apple and all that stuff. And also, big shout outs to Mr. Ramirez last week, helping us out, promoting us, and getting a lot of hits.
Yeah. That's cool. It was a great interview last week.
It was awesome. I mean, we got us the most hits we've had thus far, and then I don't know if it was because of him or maybe Dave's not here. You know, it's hard.
There's a couple of factors.
Yeah, so we'll see.
All in all, it was a great episode.
Very good, and I think we might have even topped it today.
We might. We always have something special for you later on in the program. We have a few guys from the University of Ottawa GG's basketball program.
Local legends.
Checking in, who played there for a couple of years. We'll also talk to one of them who played there. Also, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago about the app Hoops Rant.
That's right.
And you can get it and test your NBA knowledge in trivia. He joins us on the program as well to talk about that and talk about the CIS too, along with Johnny Berhanna-Mesquel. And also, we'll play a game of Swish or Miss with those guys. And Mike Lafriquin also joins in for the Swish or Miss segment.
Yeah.
So it should be lots of fun. That's later on in the program. But first, we want to talk about a few things. The NBA is moving their All-Star festivities and All-Star weekend from Charlotte to what looks like might be New Orleans in this upcoming NBA season in 2017. New Orleans last hosted it in 2014.
Yeah, I guess I don't know why they want to go back. I guess the Bourbon Street area is huge.
Last time they were there, they generated over $100 million or something like that. So there's
a
lot of money.
Pelicans are just coming in.
The reason for them or for the move out of Charlotte is the HB2 law against transgender and lesbian and gay people about using washrooms.
Yeah, they want unisex washrooms. Yeah.
No, they want like the transgenders... people to use the washroom basically that says where you are, like whatever says your birth certificate.
So yeah, whatever
male,
your gender you are on.
And then became a female, you're supposed to use the male. It's all confusing.
Even before
the NBA,
post-op and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
so the NBA is against that. They tried to...
They're against the bill.
The bill that states that. So they tried to get that change. Adam Silver was trying and he said, oh, it might end up in us moving the events and All-Star Weekend somewhere else and out of Charlotte. And earlier this week, they made that decision.
Yes.
And it looks like New Orleans might be the spot. It sucks for Charlotte, a city like Charlotte, an owner like Jordan, a team
basketball
that's coming up.
State.
Yeah, they were, basketball, huge basketball state in North Carolina. And the Charlotte Hornets, who have been good in the last couple of years, who are growing as a team and
right.
stuff like that. So it's tough
playoff
for them.
Playoff last year, they're huge. I mean, this is big. This is the first time we've seen something like this happen where it's been almost like a protest from a league. you know, and this is I thought maybe instead of going to New Orleans, they'd go to Orlando, especially after the event that happened, the terrifying event that happened a couple months ago. And I think that would have been a huge thing for the NBA to do, is kind of put the event in Orlando, kind of pay the respects to that tragedy. But
especially with what the law was.
Exactly.
Like,
I think that's a huge move. But I mean, New Orleans, I mean, that's where they made the money prior. So it makes sense to go there. I mean, New Orleans is the type of city who's just built to have these events. I mean, they've had Super Bowls, they've had WrestleManias, they have all the big events there, and they do very well. So it makes sense to go there. It's too bad why they go there. I mean, I think North Carolina should figure some stuff out. This is huge, having politics and sports kind of mesh. We've seen now where Melo's kind of getting together, try to get with BLM, try to get some stuff going there with athletes and kind of step
a problem.
Up.
There was another shooting earlier this week, yeah, too, in the States, with a man lying down on the floor. I don't know if you saw the video. His hands were up.
Just awful.
In the air, he was lying down and saying, "Don't shoot me." And they still shot him. And when he asked the officer, "Why did you shoot me?" he said, "I don't know." It's unfortunate. Very unfortunate what's happening in the US.
Yeah, I think it's huge for athletes to step up and make some noise. Because, I mean, we saw this a long, long time ago in the 60s where you saw Jim Brown and Ali and and
Russell,
Jabbar,
Kareem,
yeah,
everyone.
They got together in that room and they stuck it out, and they got it. Let's figure something out here on a social aspect and how we're doing things going forward. And I think something should happen now in our generation for getting Melo together and maybe get some other athletes from other leagues to stand up for what's happening in especially in the States. I mean, we're in Canada, it doesn't happen as much. I mean, it's a little bit lower experience, but I think that would be big time to make a change and make progress for what's going down there in the States.
Yep, and word is that the All-Star Games have been pulled, the festivities have been pulled out of Charlotte, and will most likely be moving to New Orleans.
Yeah, it might be New Orleans by this Sunday when we put this podcast out, so we don't know for sure. But
that's the word. It may change somewhere else, maybe down in Florida. We don't know because
Miami's been hinted as well.
Miami has been hinted, but we'll see. And it's the NBA for sure is moving it. And us moving on to our next topic here before we take a break and head into our next segment with the U Ottawa GG guys. Kobe Bryant wrote in the Players Tribune.
Yeah, this is huge for you.
A couple of days ago, for writing a letter to his younger self.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if people read it.
Do you think Kobe Bryant's some kind of time traveler?
I think that's what the goal is here. I think he wants to go back in time and relive his 20-year career.
Now, did you read
again.
The letter?
I did. I get it. It's because he has problems with his family, right? With his parents. They don't really see eye to eye. Once he first got married to his wife,
yeah,
they weren't really supportive. And then they were okay. Then after the whole thing with the memorabilia, and they were selling it to get money after he's gotten them a house and all that. So the whole thing of his letter is he wants to, yes, help them, but not give them, maybe help them and invest and let them grow independently and stuff like that.
Right.
Instead of giving them all the money, paying their bills, getting them whatever they want, because he has all the money in the world, right? He just got into the NBA.
Of course.
So I think that was the biggest thing. And I get it. I think all players are kind of like that. We've seen some maybe players even go broke because they've helped too many people out, and
all their friends
come in,
right? That's what Wiggins said. The worst part about getting popular is all of these guys come out of the woodwork and
asking for tickets
and money, and
all these long time relatives that you barely see are
all of a sudden coming
up and asking you for money and paying your bills and stuff like that. And I think that's what really it is you want to help them because they've been there for you growing up and all your life, but you want to help them in a way where you're not just doing everything for them and they can just rely on you forever, right? I think that's the biggest thing.
That's huge. I mean, look at Brandon Jennings. When he first came to the league, he bought, like, the cheapest car imaginable. He was keeping his cards close to the chest. He didn't want to spend anything because, you know, we've heard horror stories before with athletes who just go bankrupt after. They don't know. Life after sports is tough for them.
Exactly. And then there's a hockey player recently who was in the news. Got his name, but his parents were his managers or whatever, and they took most of his money or all of his money, and he had to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's tough.
So that was pretty tough for him. But I think that's the thing with the whole Kobe, and Kobe, I think, is going to be doing a lot of this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Participating and writing in the Players Tribune.
Do you think he's just already bored?
I think he still probably goes to the gym and works out and gets shots up alone. But I think he's going to miss the game, right? He's played for more than half his life at the highest level in the world, and he's won and he's done so many things. So obviously you're going to miss it, but you got to learn how to
What would you want Kobe doing now?
Obviously it would be playing basketball and be
coaching.
I don't think he can coach.
You want him on TNT or something?
That would be fun to have him as a broadcaster and give his opinion and have him with those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Because it would be funny, and all those Lakers stories between Kobe and Shaq would eventually come out, because you have Barkley and Kenny and EJ on the set who push those buttons and get them out. But something like that. But Kobe said he's into like directing, so maybe if he puts a movie together or a documentary about himself, like he's done in the past, or just anything in general, writing stuff about the past that we don't really know about Kobe. He's become more social now. So stuff about the past maybe that come out, or his take on certain things, that's probably would be what I look forward to most in his retirement.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome to see him do anything to that. I'm sure he'll write a book, perhaps, you know.
Maybe an autobiography.
Maybe a Kobe Bryant podcast. Let's see what he's doing, you know. I think that'd be cool too. So yeah, there's lots of things he can do in his retirement. Again, I think it's just still he's still gonna soak it in that he's done, you know.
Well, they did reach out to him, Krzyzewski and Jerry Colangelo from Team USA, and he said, no, I'm retired.
Why does he want to coach, you think?
I think he'd be too hard. He'd expect too much from the players. And I don't think every player would be able to.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He's been coached by Phil Jackson and Mike Brown. Right? Those guys are the same level. No, I mean, like, you got to, like, he's learned from those guys. I'm sure what he demands from them.
Yeah, but it's because he held himself to such a high standard, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's why it would be tough. He tried to hold everyone on his team to his standard, which is being in the gym 24/7, working out, getting those shots up after the game and stuff like that. I think that's why his mentality would be too crazy for coaching.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Next, we are joined by the Uottawa GG guys, Johnny, Mehdi, and Mike, to go in depth about a whole bunch of stuff.
Ottawa's big three.
Yeah. Johnny just came back from Estonia, so we'll talk about him playing professionally there. We got news about Mike playing professionally as well. Later on in the show, he'll let us know. And Mehdi, who is the creator of Hoopstrand, that app, the trivia.
Killing
so we'll
it.
Get it into all that and more next on 3 in the Key.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key, 3 in the Key. Elias Alzina alongside Will Macklin. Dave's away again.
Yeah, it's the second week now.
We're still looking for
replacement.
Yeah, resumes and applications at the3inthekey@gmail.com.
We got an audition right now?
Yeah, I think we're going to get a few auditions here in studio. Our first in-studio guest, we like to welcome former players from the University of Ottawa, GGs, Mehdi Tahani and Johnny Berhamanaskil. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, perfect. Okay, Johnny Basketball, everyone knows you around here, local legend for sure. All-time leading scorer for the GGs. We'll get to you in a second, but we talked about Hoopsrant, an app.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, NBA trivia. You can find it on our Facebook page as well, at the 3 in the Key at Facebook. We have the creator, inventor, CEO. Is that okay for title?
Yeah, that's good.
So Mehdi Tahani here. He also played for the GGs. So what is Hoopsrant? We talked about it, like we said, a couple of weeks ago on our program. It's an NBA trivia game. Is that fair to say? What else can you add to that?
Well, initially, I started Hoopsrant probably like 2 years ago. It started off just like as a Facebook page and an Instagram page, where basically I would just talk about the NBA and stuff that would happen. It's basically like a place for me to just rant about the NBA, like personally. And then eventually I just got the idea to create a mobile app to have a trivia app, because there's not really a lot of good trivia apps in the App Store. So just an idea that came to me, and then I reached out to a couple developers and got it created after a couple months.
Now, how is this app different from other trivia apps on the market? I know we see it tons. There's tons of not only just basketball but sports. But like, how is this different from the other ones we've seen?
Well, actually, I mean, I guess I created the app because it's something that I wanted to use myself.
Of course.
Like initially, a couple months back, I was just searching the App Store like for something NBA related, and it was pretty some pretty basic questions about the NBA, and it wasn't really like anything that would get me to keep playing kind of thing. So it was just something that, like I said, just something I would use myself. So I just figured maybe other people who like the NBA would use it.
And when did it launch? And is it only on iPhones? Because I know Android users, like Will, doesn't have it on his phone.
Yeah, super upset about it.
Yeah. Well, because of development costs, it's only on the iOS App Store for now. And it launched about a week and a half ago. So
nice.
Yeah.
And why? So you said that you just brought up the name Hoopstrand just for you to rant, and you turned it into this trivia. Where do you hope it goes from here?
Right now, it's all the goal is just to get as many downloads as possible. Hopefully future plans is to have the blog going and having writers and stuff like that, like just basically growing the blog and the brand, whether it's the mobile app or an e-commerce store or the blog. So those three things are kind of where I want to go with it.
And we know Elias has been playing it nonstop, and he's like the top guy on there.
Yeah.
Do you have an award maybe to give him, perhaps like a kind of trophy, maybe a cash check?
Actually, funny you say that, because we're looking into like handing out prizes in the future, hopefully in like a month or so when we have more members.
Oh, that'd be rad.
So, yeah, we'll.
I'm gonna keep playing. I'm gonna stay number one. Just heads up.
Yeah, we'll probably have like prizes for top players every month or something like that. Hopefully.
Oh, but I love the game. Like, it asks you questions that you'd never think of, and it gets you really going. And it's time, so you don't have all day to like log on your computer or go on and search on your phone what
the
answer
is. 10 seconds, yeah.
Some have caught me by surprise. I'm like, oh, really? Like, this guy, I thought he was drafted there or he went to this school and stuff like that. My favorite is stuff like Mike Miller is the last white player to win Rookie of the Year. Those questions kill me. those are my favorite things.
Yeah, how do you think? Do you think
like
these questions?
How did you come up with these kind of questions?
I write all the questions myself.
All of them?
Yeah, all of
every
them.
Single game, every single question in the game.
Yeah.
You came up with them yourself?
All of them, yeah.
That's really
wow.
awesome.
That's a lot of questions.
It's time-consuming, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really find the same question come up twice. Yeah.
How many are probably in the database?
Around 5,000 right now, but hopefully... Wow. Well, I'm trying to add way more categories and stuff.
Unlock the Jordan one. I'm inviting all my friends, and it's not working. I want to play Jordan.
Well, there's different options. Either you purchase the category for a dollar, or you invite five friends. So
yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go the dollar route now. So tell us quickly. Do you have any other questions about the app?
You're killing me.
No, I love it. It's like I am first, but like I'm not trying to. I hope someone out there tries to come, you know, and take over my spot. I doubt it, but we'll just. Go with that.
Hey man, if it was on Android right now, I'd be punking.
Well,
it.
Dave has it, and he's not even close to me.
We're thinking of getting an Android version in a couple of months, but just like I said,
will it be the same questions and same categories, and all the people like that play it on Android and iOS will be like on the same?
Yeah, hopefully we'll combine the leaderboard. So
that would be sick.
That'd be rad.
You're not gonna touch me.
We'll see.
So tell us about your CS journey. I know you were at Carlton at the beginning, and then you transferred over to the GG. So tell us about how you got to play in here in Ottawa.
Well, I was like you said, my first year I was at Carlton as a redshirt. Didn't get to play in any games because I was just like a practice player with them. Then after that summer, thanks to these two guys, I kind of got contacting with Johnny and Vic and Mike, and they just kind of convinced me to go to Ottawa U, and it was.
A sign and trade?
5 years, pretty much.
So that was the whole recruiting thing, like we saw with Kevin Durant in the NBA. Yeah, by the way, he said two guys, because Mike Lafriquet is also here in the studio with us off mic, unfortunately. We'll get you on mic one of these weeks and have your journey through the CAS as well. No, I loved watching you guys play. It was a real pleasure here in Ottawa. We'll intro Johnny now into the show, who's the leader for this GG's team for a couple of years, obviously the all-time leading scorer, CIS Player of the Year, First Team All-Canadian, OUA Player of the Year, and you know the accolades just keep on going. Johnny, you just finished playing your first year professionally in Estonia. How was that?
It was awesome, just to really focus on ball and not have any distractions and think about school and whatnot, and even just little hassles on the side. You literally just wake up in the morning, you're living, sleeping, breathing basketball all day. And that was really fun, to just taking a different culture out there and how they did things from a basketball perspective, and just use my knowledge from what I've learned here over there and stuff. And it was cool to just compete over there and versus a whole bunch of different players.
What did you think of like Euroball, man? How was that?
It was good. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I don't think players over here can't play over there. And they just do it differently in terms of how they create leagues and stuff, right? So there's not as much university basketball over there in Europe as opposed to players that play at the age of 17 and they play professionally right away, right? But I mean, I think that it's continuing to grow, and Canadian basketball players are doing an amazing job of getting over there and showcasing what they could do.
So why Estonia? Was there any other options in terms of maybe staying here and playing in the NBA and the NBLC, I think it's called, or anywhere else in Europe? Was it the best fit?
Yeah, I mean, I potentially could have went the Canadian route, but I thought I needed to...
Windsor Express? Yeah. we did the play-by-play for the Ottawa Skyhawks
when they were here in their lone season.
That was literally
was
the
fun,
highest point of our lives. For
not
the Skyhawks had shut down, so I couldn't do that. But
you could have been the Skyhawks.
No, I had a couple options, and there were some teams in like Belgium and Germany that were interested at first. And I mean, I think down the stretch we thought this would be the best route. We played in like two different competitions, so we played in like the Estonian league as well as the Baltic league, so just like countries like Lithuania and Latvia and stuff, so got to see a lot of that part of the world and stuff. And I mean, playing in both competitions definitely like exposed me to a lot of games and stuff, which is all I really could ask for my first year, kind of just get my feet wet out there and show that I could play versus those guys, you know.
Yeah, you played over 50 games and both leagues combined and averaged over 20 or 20 a night. And you were the import player of the year in Estonia, is that correct?
Yeah, in the Baltic League.
So what is that? What is the import player of the year?
I mean, I think, so the imports are just based out of players that aren't domestic, so like that aren't comprised of like the Lithuanian, Latvian, or Estonians. So just in terms of guys that are coming from America, so basically a lot of like Division I players or guys that have came out of Canada that were over there.
And was it a hard transition? You mentioned, obviously, the CIS and the Canadians. You think, you have no doubt that Canadians can go out there. And how was the transition from CIS to Pro Bowl? Obviously, the CIS doesn't get enough credit. We see a lot of players in the last couple of years, you know, from Carleton and from Ryerson and other schools around Canada go out to play professionally out in Europe. How come you think, first of all, the CIS doesn't get enough credit? And how was the transition from the CIS to professional basketball out in Europe?
I mean, I think everyone just always thinks D1 or nothing, or D1 and NBA, right? So people kind of forget that Europe has a lot of great basketball out there, and that, I mean, the upper echelon of the CIS like can compete versus Division I teams, and we do that at the beginning of seasons and stuff, and have beaten some teams that make like big pushes down the stretch, right? So, I mean, I think like Ryerson, Carleton, Ottawa, I mean, we've played versus those guys, and we hold our own versus them, so we're not intimidated by that. But also, when I went over there, I mean, it was a bit more physical. The big men were a bit bigger. I mean, it was a bit more athletic. But like anything, after preseason and stuff, you kind of just know what you have to do and get used to it, or you'll be in trouble. So you kind of just have to adapt.
What about the fans out there? Are they how would you compare them compared to the Canadian fans you've seen?
It was hit or miss. Some places the fans were very enthusiastic, and I mean, I've seen some big gyms in Canada as well, and they've been packed, but over there, I mean, they're way more ruthless, I think, in terms of like they'll bring a bunch of drums and trumpets and stuff like that into the gym, and they're just chanting in their native tongue, so I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah.
But
right.
I mean, they're definitely into the game, like over anything, like loose ball out of bounds or whatever the case may be. Like teams definitely try to like showcase like their home court advantage, or even on the road, like I've seen teams do 3-hour trips to pack gyms and stuff, no problem, and like it makes the atmosphere way better, you know. And I mean, I think that's what makes the game so fun out there. Like they just really get behind their people in smaller cities or bigger cities or whatever the case may be.
Speaking about the fans, I covered the Ravens. I'm the play-by-play guy there, and you know, the fans, it's always the same. It's quiet, it's the parents, some students, because everyone expects them to win, and they usually do their regular season games. I know the GGs have a good crowd, but how can you why do you think that is? Maybe the CIS doesn't get enough fans for some reason. What do you think it is? Is the lack of maybe the skill, which I doubt. I think there's a good talent, but can you talk about that?
I mean, obviously, the marketing and stuff can always be better from every school and stuff, right? Like getting the students behind it is the biggest thing, just because you see Division I schools,
exactly,
and stuff,
like 20,000 people
pack the gym, right, and stuff like that. So maybe finding a way not to make students pay for it or whatever the case may be, or getting them out there, because like teams need that, schools need that, and it just makes the environment way better and it makes your school look better too, right? So
what do you think about the prep school route?
I mean, I think it's booming right now, so
we just saw for the Bucks, Thon Maker.
Yeah, and I mean, a bunch of guys are continuing to do it and following that route, so I mean, if you have the talent and you know, like, Thon Maker's a Division I guy or whatever the case may be, or, like, a top pick, right? So if you know that you have that ability, then that's obviously the route. But, I mean, for me, like, coming out of high school, I wasn't thinking Division I Kentucky or anything like that. So CIS was...
You weren't even recruited.
To go, like, yeah. I mean, I wasn't a big-time recruiter or nothing like that. So
And then you came and dominated.
Yeah, I thought sticking around at home and working on my game and stuff was the best choice for me. So you got to be careful because you don't want to get lost in the sauce and... have to go, you know, go to a bunch of different schools and
we
transfer.
We might have to start using that on 3 in the
might
key.
Might be a segment now.
Yeah.
Players that I got lost in the sauce.
Who was the hardest defender you went up against in the CIS?
Easily Greg Carter from Lakehead, Ottawa guy.
Okay. Was there a team or a player you look forward to playing against in terms of this would be, you know, a good matchup for me, or you could look at it the other way and be like, you know, I'm going to give this guy 30 tonight? You can drop names, that's fine.
Yeah,
once playoff time came, I think, you know, like, everyone's eyes light up. Like, I was really, those are the games that really mattered, especially with the CIS. Like, it's kind of top heavy, so playing Ryerson and Carleton are always the funnest games, no matter what, win or lose. You know, you're gonna play against the best players in the country, so that was probably the most exciting times.
One question. Yeah,
no, go for it. Yeah.
One question before we bring Mehdi back in here and talk to you guys about your time together with the GGs. How did you feel not being invited to the Team Canada training camp before they made the final cuts with the team that they sent to Manila?
I mean, especially without all the NBA guys going to the training camp, I think it would have been amazing to at least get invited to the camp and compete for some of the guys that I grew up playing against or in the CIS or other places. So obviously that part sucked, but I mean, I just got to keep using that as motivation to keep working on what I do and what I can control, you know?
Do you think it's a lot of name recognition that kind of gets in there first? And you kind of get...
I mean, they have guys that have been in the system for however many years, so obviously they're going to get their call back every year, so... That's fine, but I mean...
They love their LeVon Kendalls.
You know, like, those guys will be back regardless. You can never hate on someone's craft or what they do. Like, that's what they've been doing their whole life. But at the end of the day, obviously, it'd be nice to get in the gym with those guys and play versus them.
So we'll bring Mehdi back in here and talk to you guys, the both of you, about your time in the CIS. So how was it playing together, like, every night, going out and compete in practice and when it came down to game time?
It was amazing. I mean...
They kind of looked at each other.
Like, who wants to take it away?
Who's going to say it?
No, it was 10 out of 10. Like, we lived together. Like, we literally were at the gym in the morning together. We would shoot together. We would hang out all night. Like, it was honestly just, like, I know brotherhood is a cliche word to use in these situations, but we literally, like, we were all about it. We were all trying to help each other get better. And, I mean, we just had a bunch of chemistry on the floor. And I especially our last, like, 3 years together, we really rocked, and like, we got to showcase that we were a contender every year, and like, I think that's like, it's honestly because of what we did on and off the court.
Mehdi, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I've known Johnny for years. We used to play high school together, like, against each other in club basketball back in the day. So he's an Ottawa guy, I'm an Ottawa guy. Like, the opportunity to come to Ottawa and play with guys like Mike and Johnny and Vic, it was a no brainer. So it was the best times of my life.
How big of a game is the Capital Hoops Classic? Like, everyone gets geared up around the city for it. It's a game that, you know, your casual basketball fan will go out to the CTC to attend, you know, over 10,000 fans. Was it the game that you guys circled on your calendar? I know, obviously, you guys play the Ravens twice a year, and that was always the big rivalry in the city. Or are you guys just going to tell me it was another game on the schedule?
I mean, I'd lie if I didn't say, like, it wasn't a big game, obviously. I mean, sometimes fans will come out and just watch that game for the year, obviously, you know. So, I mean, obviously coming out and trying to win that game is big no matter what. And especially the last couple of years, like, rankings have been on the line and rankings change after that game, you know. So, I mean, I never won a game. Mike and Mehdi won one this year, which was huge. And, I mean, they probably have more of an emotional side to it on the winning side, so Mehdi can answer.
Yeah, especially for you playing for Carleton and then playing for Ottawa the next year. How was that?
It felt weird, to be honest, but I mean, that first year was a bit weird, the transition going over to Ottawa, but by the end of it, I was a GG at heart, and to beat Carleton was obviously the ultimate motivation. So it was a big game regardless.
GG unit.
unit.
I don't want to open up any old wounds, and don't hate me for asking this.
Uh-oh.
What was it about Carleton that you guys couldn't really get over, like beat them like in the national championship game? What was it? I know you guys beat them in the regular season play, and obviously Johnny had a big shot for the Wilson Cup a few years ago in Toronto. But what was it about the national championship when you guys played them in the finals that you couldn't get over the hump?
The refs, no. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, we could talk about basketball X's and O's, obviously, but from, like, just plain and simple, I mean, obviously they're very good at what they do. And, I mean, my last year, we didn't do ourselves any favors losing in the OUA, like the Wilson Cup weekend, our first game versus Windsor. And I think that made our road a little bit tougher once we got to Nationals. We played Bishops and Ryerson, which we didn't really match up amazing with. We beat them down the stretch, but I mean, it would have been nice to play against a couple teams from out west that we hadn't seen earlier in the year and stuff. We had just beat Ryerson tough the weekend before, and we were a bit tired, but there's no reason going to the national in the finals where you can't get over being tired. But having a smoother road would have helped us, I think, down the stretch. But they did their thing. I mean, I'm not going to hate on that. They won, and good for them.
Did you want to add anything to that, Manny?
I don't know. I guess they were just really well prepared defensively, and they had a good game plan, and
you got one single tear right now going.
No, in all seriousness, they were well prepared. They deserved to win that game, and yeah, kudos to them.
Last question in this segment. You mentioned earlier, Johnny, about how the program evolved and how you guys played together and how it's gone. What can you say about that from the time you put on the GG's uniform the first time, or both of you guys, till your last game, and the last game you guys, you know, walked off the court? How has the program changed, and how much has Coach Jimmy brought to that program?
So I came in my first year with Coach Jimmy. So, I mean, just dynamics were not off, but just completely new to everyone, new coach, new players, new leaders, right? So, I mean, it took some time to let that sink in and see who he wanted to go with and move forward with. So I think it took us a couple of years. We would win, we'd lose some, but especially our last 3 years, I felt like we saw the biggest change, where we finally got like a bronze at Nationals. We kind of had our pieces. Everyone was who we wanted to be, basically. And I think that was from an unselfish standpoint, from the first, like the biggest thing for us. Everyone really wanted us to be successful. Like, we'd wake up, we'd call guys, make sure everyone's going to the gym at the time. If someone wasn't there, couldn't make it, or if someone had class, or someone needed help with something, like, we were there for each other, because we knew that we needed to be if we wanted to have a chance when it's the fourth quarter of a tight game versus whoever the team is, right? So, I mean, we really felt like that was the biggest thing for us, and we got to reap most of the benefits for it in the last 3 years and win and do a lot of special things for our program, and I think they're in good hands and they'll keep moving forward.
I mean, Johnny made some great points there. When I came to Ottawa, Mike and Johnny kind of took me under my wing and always made sure I was in the gym. So, like Johnny said, Coach Jimmy was still kind of new to the program. So there's a lot of guys that kind of they were in a weird transition period. But from there to now, like, they've gotten a lot better. Obviously, they're a contender every year, and they're going to be very good next year again. So.
You guys on a banana boat ever? You guys have a banana boat picture, just like the boys on
soon,
vacation?
Soon.
Maybe soon, next summer.
That'd be perfect.
Well, that wraps up this segment. Thanks to Johnny and Mehdi. We'll be back and we'll play some Swish or Miss. Probably get Mike in on it if you're...
Yeah, he's just been catching pidgeys all interview.
Catching some Pokemon. So we'll be back on 3, Nikki.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Back inside the Key, 3 in the Key, Elias Lozane alongside Will Macklin. No Dave again once this week. I think he's in D.C. now.
He is, sadly. You can go, like I said, you can catch the Wizards, maybe do like something with John.
Practice run, I think. Maybe. I don't know what they're doing down there in D.C. He's probably at, Lincoln Memorial or something like that? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or the White House?
I think it's Memorial for Lincoln. Yeah, maybe.
Catching Pokemon, maybe probably.
Jigglypuff or something.
Joined in studio by Mehdi, Johnny, and now Mike. who's also a member of the GGs and that tight-knit squad.
Yeah, we didn't interview him. I feel like he might be like the Chris Bosch of the group here. Poor guy. Doesn't want to get in on that.
I'm good. But we'll move on to Swish or Miss with our guests here. So Will
Special edition, Swish or Miss.
That's right. So you have the questions?
Yeah, do I ever.
Go ahead.
Ottawa GG edition. Let's go.
Now, on Three in the Key, it's Swish or Miss.
All right. Now with Durant going in to Oakland, swish or miss, will the Warriors find enough touches for everyone?
Swish.
You're going to swish on that? Swish. Elaborate on that?
I don't want to say like for sure because of injuries, you never know.
Oh, of course. I mean, just like if they're all healthy, will all their guys be getting enough touches and no one's complaining?
Initially, I mean, early in the season, like it's all like there'll be like a transition period, kind of like LeBron, Wade, and Bosch in Miami. They started off a bit rough at the beginning.
Right. A lot of people are predicting that now.
Right.
Obviously, it's hard to...
And because they've lost a lot of players over the last couple of years.
Right.
It's kind of a different team. They only have like five or six players back, bringing in Durant too. So it'll be an adjustment period, but I'm sure they'll figure it out.
No. I think it's a better core than what the Bosch, James, and Wade is, just because they have more guys. And obviously, the three-point shooting is going to be off the charts, even if you had... a guy like Kevin Durant who shoots it over 40%.
Well, somebody's going to be open every time.
Yeah, exactly. And then on the defensive end, obviously Durant is not as good as Draymond Green or Klay Thompson, but I think he'll be able to help and rebound. I think he's underrated.
I think he's better than those guys. He's so long. He's 6'11". He can switch on anybody. And he's the only guy I've ever seen actually, when he puts his mind to it, shut down LeBron. And I think that's going to be
Kevin Durant.
The difference, yeah.
Shut down LeBron.
Like, when they played each other, you know, a couple times in the playoffs and in regular seasons, he does a great job when he gets onto LeBron.
We can hear you. Let's get closer to the mic.
And now I'm going to have to boost your levels way up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he is good. And he showed that against the Warriors in their playoff series when he was still wearing a Thunder jersey. He was blocking lots of shots. Obviously, he's a good rebounder. Those numbers have gone up over the years. And they have one ball. Klay Thompson made a good point. He's like, there's one ball. And the job is to get it through the hoop. Like, it's a very unselfish team. They know they're going to share the ball. And I think if a guy like Thompson, who they rely so much heavily on defense and on offense now, if they rely on him a lot on defense, most of his shots on offense are going to be open. He doesn't really have to create. And you got a guy who's special in Curry and obviously Durant, and they're going to just fill the roster with really whoever they want. They got guys like David West and Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah.
We're not big names, but they can contribute.
Starting to hit threes now.
The way they play, just Kevin Durant's going to fit in there so perfectly. You could see in the playoffs, like, there's a lot of times where, you know, Steph Curry's being guarded by bigger guys, and it's kind of tough for him because he's a littler, you know, player or whatever. But Kevin Durant can score on anyone. Those times when they put the Tristan Thompson on Steph Curry, Klay kind of needs someone to hook him up. Draymond is super overrated, and Kevin Durant can go and do his thing. Like, now they've got somebody.
I'm liking
somebody,
this analysis right here.
They got
hottest
like,
take.
they got a steroid version of Harrison Barnes. He can guard anybody, he rebounds better, he defends better, and he shoots it better. And the way they play, he's going to get as many touches as he wants, and it's going to take a load off Curry and Klay to make plays that, you know, they'd rather be unselfish and let Durant go and do that.
Definitely, because that, I mean, exactly. What was the problem in the finals was Harrison Barnes. Now you replace that guy with Durant, and it's no longer
it's
a problem.
It's funny, because he was a problem, yet somehow he got $94 million. I wish I can have that
problem.
Well,
let's talk about that now. How about Swish or Miss and Barnes being the man in D-Town?
That's a huge miss.
Like an air ball?
Not even close.
Yeah. He's going to be solid. He's going to be more than, I think he was at 12 or 10 or 11 points per game this year. I think he could go up to 14 or 15 on a little bit worse shooting. But that's a team that's on its way out, and I think them planning their future around Harrison Barnes might be a mistake.
Yeah, you guys agree?
Yeah.
You too?
Totally.
Well, but what was wrong with Dallas's like offseason? It seems like every year they just make like DeAndre last year. They keep on missing these big-time free agents. What's the deal with that?
Well, DeAndre had committed, right? And then backed out at the last second. Yeah. That's why they put the handcuffs on Barnes. I don't know if you saw that picture.
Exactly.
They got a loud GM or owner, so like you always feel like Dallas is in the mix is just because he doesn't really stop talking.
I know, but back in the day, it was like Nash and Nowitzki would like never stop talking about how awesome it was to play for him.
Yeah. Well,
and the facility is amazing, evidently.
The thing is everyone's caught up to them. Like they've seen what they've done, and so every team is doing that. So now it's just his voice.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to, you know, move to a bigger market and stuff like that and play with other guys. So Nowitzki's on his way out, and DeAndre Jordan's like, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Los Angeles, or Dirk and Parsons in
Darren
Dallas.
Williams.
Yeah, like, see,
yeah. Guys on their decline. Obviously, Nowinski, a great player, a Hall of Famer, but he is on his way out. And Mark Cuban, like you said, he talks a lot, but he doesn't never pay guys. I know he's offered max contracts to Barnes and stuff like that. That's because the cap is going up. But he's not a guy that consistently wants to pay the luxury tax and go out and get the talent. Obviously, they missed on Rondo that year where they traded for him, and that didn't work out, and they were
right
out in the playoffs. It should be interesting. I don't know. Maybe Dallas squeezes in as an 8th or 7th spot, but I don't see them any higher. But I think they could fall out of the postseason picture
both
as well.
Just got better, so it'll be tough.
Definitely, yeah. Next one going, Waiters not being signed yet. Does this mean, like, more and more that Westbrook's going to stay in OKC?
Swish or miss?
I think it's both. Teams are getting smarter, and I think
so.
In and out.
You're calling an in and out.
The old classic in
and
out.
I don't think that means anything about Westbrook, because it really doesn't. Westbrook's going to go where he's going to have a better chance to be himself and win, and Waiters is going to go where the money goes, because if you've watched him play, that's what he's going to go do.
And get his numbers. He's going to go to Brooklyn, I think, cause, or maybe Philly.
That's where he's from, right?
Throw up a cash.
He's from Philly. He's from Philly initially.
Yeah, that's right.
That'll be a bigger brick than Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
It was Waiters. Although he surprised me a little bit in the postseason and against in the Warriors. Obviously, contract here, you want to play at the best you can to try to get that big money. But yeah, him being unsigned is not a big issue, and obviously they've replaced him with that
Oladipo
and right. Alex Arbenas, I think, the Spanish guard who just got a 3-year, $18 million deal, who's a very good shooter, and that's what they need. But I still think that Westbrook could leave. OKC is a small market, although I think he wants to be a leader of a team if they can add a little more talent, and he can really drive that force with the Thunder, and obviously a triple double threat every night. So we'll see how it goes. I hope he signs with the Lakers though next season. That'd be great.
Let's talk a little Team USA. I don't know if you guys saw the clip or not. We'll play it when we play the show. But on DeAndre Jordan asking Durant why he didn't sign with the Clippers during his interview. I don't know if you saw this, but he totally caught him off guard, and they were both getting interviewed at the same time. And he asked straight up to Durant. Durant kind of seemed kind of choked on it, but swish or miss on DeAndre doing that?
Swish.
I agree, because that's like, you want to be competitive, you want those guys, and I think calling him out on that was huge.
I mean, that's hype. Like, just putting someone on the spot obviously is amazing, just seeing how they react to it and stuff. And obviously,
right.
Durant knows that it caused so much controversy. Like, we were just reading an article yesterday, like, he didn't leave his house for 2 days after he made that announcement.
Yeah, that's right, because he was so...
He thought he was about to get hit by a car, he said. Like,
yeah, do you think, because we're speaking about Durant a lot, do you think it would have been better for him to go to the Clippers, maybe Boston, stay in Thunder? What was the best move? Was this the best move? From a basketball perspective, the way I see it, I say it's the same as LeBron in 2010 in terms of they both left to go chase championships,
yeah.
Right? 100%. The difference is... James went and created his own team in Miami with Bosh and Wade. Only Wade was there. Durant's joining a force of Curry, Thompson, and Green, a team that's already been built through the draft, obviously. And he just said it was a basketball decision. He's a basketball player, and he wants to play basketball. Do you guys think it was the best decision for him to make to join the Warriors?
Absolutely.
100%. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like you're going to join the team that just beat you in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the equivalent of like, Johnny or Mike going to Carlton after losing to them in the finals. It's
did you do that, though? No.
I
went the other way.
He created a dynasty.
He joined OKC.
He started it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like competitive-wise, like you got to be a competitor at some point and just be like, I don't want to join a team that just – but.
You believe in that big time, like
I do, like, but especially a team that you faced in the playoffs, like,
because this isn't the first time
and had a 3-1 lead.
Like, this is the first time. Obviously, you talked about James, but I mean, Barkley did it.
But those guys were kind of at the end of their career. No, O'Neal left Orlando and joined LA because of Jerry West. Same thing with Durant. Like, Jerry West is probably the best closer out there, and he's
guy, yeah.
And he's gone everyone.
That's him, yeah.
Yeah, so Jerry West, Steve Nash, the guys like that played a role and told them, like, listen, this is a basketball team,
yeah.
Right? Unselfish guys. We're all going to pass it around. You've seen the way we play. My question is if the Warriors would have won, would he have joined? Like, if they would have won a title, I think it would have been easier to sell, easier, to be honest.
Yeah, it would have been an easier thing for him, and he would have got less, you know, controversy over it. I mean, you guys got to remember that this is a Warriors team that 3 years ago, it was two mid-major guys and a second-round draft pick in Draymond Green getting it done with a bunch of role players. Steph Curry brought his game from great to, you know, you could one day talk about him being one of the greatest.
Elite, yeah.
And all of a sudden, that just makes, like, Durant's joining the best team ever. It's like, okay, LeBron brought Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, who are three top five guys together, and like, that's a super team. This is still a bunch of guys that are just, they just love to play basketball. They don't, there's no ball stopping. There's no me. These guys are all just like God-fearing, working hard, skill craft guys. And Kevin Durant is the only big fish in that pond. And it's, he's going to a place where he's going to be able to play his brand of basketball and just elevate his game. In 20 years, we're not going to talk about these stupid little details. Everyone's only going to remember LeBron for bringing a championship to Cleveland, not for his stupidities with Miami, which turned out good too. If Durant wins a bunch of championships here, no one's going to be like, oh, he's a loser, blah, blah, blah. No, he joined a 6'1" kid from Davidson and a 6'7" kid from Washington State, and they're going to take over the world shooting the basketball.
Right.
No, it's true.
And the thing that I think Durant that's going to add that they missed is a guy, like, if those guys had off nights, we saw it last year, although not often, they only lost 9 games, but they struggled at times, right, when they didn't have the 3-point shot. Now, if that happens, because they rely on the 3-point shot so much, they can go away from that and feed Durant. He's a one-on-one guy. He can go out and get you 50 any night,
Barnes
inside, outside.
Yeah.
Exactly. Barnes would just stand in the corner and brick up those threes and still got $94 million. I wonder, like, I don't know. But
well, you were mad because he's a Lakers fan, obviously, and he wanted, we were talking DeRozan or Harrison for him, and he wanted Harrison.
But on cheap contract, I think it would be better because DeRozan, I didn't want to pay him. He's another guy who's done great things for the Raptors, has been there forever, and wants to be there forever. He's not a guy, in my opinion, that's supposed to get $135 million because he still can't shoot the three. He's a mediocre defender. I think guys that get those maximum deals have to be guys like a Kevin Durant, a LeBron James,
right?
You know, guys, a Kawhi Leonard, the guys that can give it on both ends of the floor. That's really what it comes down to.
All right, one last question. We'll do the Raptors, your Raps. What do you think of their offseason? A swish or miss?
Neither. Just like...
in and out again.
Like, holds the shot and gets fouled.
Yeah, like, I don't know. They got Jared Sullinger, which I thought was a pretty good pickup on a cheap contract for a year.
Sully, I was thinking he just needs to lose a couple pounds and he'll be in there.
I was hoping they'd get like a guy like Terrence Jones. He had a pretty bad year last year with the Rockets, get him for a cheap contract, but... Jared Sullinger was a good pickup, I guess, on a cheap contract.
Yeah.
We had a pretty good draft pick in the big. I was hoping for him.
Maybe full season with Carroll now.
Yeah, Carroll healthy finally. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think they'll be around the same, like second or third, maybe fourth in the East.
Well, okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Where do you think the Raptors rank last year? People saw them kind of overachieve, and they did all that with Damari Carroll on the injured list for more than half the season, and they went to the East Finals. They won 2 against Cleveland. So do you think now, obviously the fans are like, you know, East Finals, we got to go there again, or the Finals. What are the realistic, you know, goals, I guess, for Toronto this year?
Well, I think Mike touched up on it before, saying the East got a bit tougher this next
tougher.
Year. So
yeah, well, Boston, and then
Boston got better.
Indiana,
Boston. I
even
think.
New York a little bit. Like,
yeah, they got the playoff team for sure.
No, Chicago.
Chicago's a mess.
They're weird, but who knows what they do with those stars. Yeah. Like,
it's true.
Who's shooting on
playoffs.
That team, though?
They'll
like,
make the playoffs.
Rondo passes
Jimmy
to Wade. Wade back to Rondo.
Yeah.
It'll be tough.
I think they're going to be a better team. Like, they address their problems. The power forward spot clearly was Scola and Patterson. They got Sullinger, and then they got Jacob Poeltl, who's an outstanding prospect. But the thing with them is that they still have DeRozan, who they made to the conference finals with him taking the hardest shots in the world, and Lowry was struggling. I think they're going to be a much better team this year, but I don't think they're going to get the same results.
No,
I think they're going to run into an Indiana team with Paul George and nobody, and then Miami with Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside injured. I don't think they're going to get those.
Those series still went to 7.
Exactly.
So against Indiana, I thought it should have been over in 5-6 max, and it went to 7. So that was bad. Same thing with Miami. Although I thought if Valanciunas stayed healthy, like, it wasn't his fault, he got injured. But I thought if he was healthy, it would have been a little different because he was dominating.
Very valuable for them, though.
Yeah, that too. And now he has, he's going to show up. He's kind of the man down in South Beach with that young team.
I think what you'll see is that they're going to dominate their first round matchup this year. They're over that hump. They're going to learn how to beat a bad team in the playoffs.
Unless Paul Pierce joins,
second round is going to be a tougher team, and they're going to lose. And if they do win, I have no idea how, but it's going to be tough. But they're going to be a better team. You're going to see a team that's more veteran and experienced, but I can't see them going as far as last year.
So we lied that was the last question. Okay, I just want to add this. Do you think it's still Cleveland and LeBron in the East? Like, no one touches them yet? It's like LeBron and Cleveland, nobody, and then the rest of the East?
Yes, swish. Yes. Swish on
swish,
that.
Swish. But they won't sweep the first two matchups.
It'll be tougher?
It'll be one or two, something like that. Maybe they'll sweep the first round. Second round, it's going to be a tougher team again. It could be like a Pacers or a Toronto earlier this time. So it'll be like they'll win in 5-6, and then they'll 5-6, and then they're going to lose to the Warriors probably in a sweep.
But I think that helps. Because I think that those losses to Toronto actually helped them going forward. I think
100% it did.
Yeah, and especially being down 3-1, you know, they were tied 2-2, and LeBron said, I would never felt like it was anything, you know, being down 2-2 tied to the Raptors. It was a little disrespect, but he gave a shout-out to the fans and the country at the end of the series. But I think, yeah, you're right. That humbled them a little bit going forward and in that Warrior series. But thanks, guys. Mehdi Tihani, CEO, creator, founder, whatever you want to call it, of Hoopsrant. Make sure to check it out. It is on our Facebook page at 3 in the Key and download it on iOS right now only. Try to get to my score. I doubt anyone will, but you can try.
I'll try.
Johnny Burham and Askel. Almost got it. Yeah, Johnny forward. Basketball.
Swish.
Thanks.
Switch on that.
for joining us as well. Just finished up his first year in Estonia. Actually, are you under contract for next year as well? What's going on with that? Quickly, can you give us?
I'm just I'm currently working on it. I can go back if I want, but I'm still looking out and talking to some teams and stuff right now. So hopefully let you guys know in the next couple of weeks.
Cool, perfect. Awesome. Yeah, we'd love that. And we'll keep in touch with you. And thanks to our special guest as well, Mike Lafriquin.
Mike just signed his first pro contract in Portugal.
No way.
Oh, awesome.
Euro Cup, and now you.
What team is that with, Mike?
CAB Madeira in Portugal.
Okay, and what is that, the city of Madeira, I'm guessing?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah,
where
it is.
Ronaldo's
cool.
From.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, have fun.
Say hi to him for us.
Yeah.
I got his number now. So.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, you guys are all just friends.
We'll bring him on three in the key,
when
too.
When does training camp start, Ewan?
I'm leaving September 10th.
Oh, man. Best of luck. That
Thanks,
should be
man.
Fun.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. We'll maybe check in with you guys while you're out in Europe, definitely. So.
That'd be cool.
Have fun, and you guys take it easy, and we'll definitely check
practice.
In on... Yeah, they got practice. Let's get them out of here.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Keep it real.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Back inside the key. That was great, man. Thanks
Super
again.
Awesome.
Well, obviously with you, Elias Elzain and Will Macklin. Yeah. Dave's away, but yeah, thanks again to Mike Lafriquin, Mehdi Tihani, and Johnny Burhanemiskel, aka Johnny Basketball Legend, here in the city and for the University of Ottawa. GGs.
You can pronounce their names perfectly, by the way. You've got
you
it.
You know,
down.
I try.
Yeah, that's very professional of you.
But that was great. We had them on for a whole 40 minutes, basically the whole show. So thanks again to those guys for coming into studio and playing Swish or Miss, and obviously in the first little bit we had an interview with. Mehdi about his app and Hoopsrant, so make sure to check that out and download it and test your NBA and basketball in general trivia knowledge.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah, and we got a little bit of a tidbit from Mike also.
Yeah, Mike joining in on Swish or Miss, he kind of carried that one for them.
Yeah, I think we're thinking maybe he's the guy.
I think, yeah, that was a solid application/resume. So, Dave, your job's on the line, buddy.
Yeah, we got to wait to switch things up. I mean... I really just need you for your prod, but I think but Mike might be the guy to replace you. But overall, then the news, him going to Portugal.
Yeah, that was good.
That's all great news, and maybe Johnny going back to Estonia. So this is huge. They're all doing big things out here. They're scrimmaging right now, and this is
so
be,
that was lots
show.
Of fun. Yeah, it was a great show. Remember, you can get a hold of us by email. At the3nikki@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook at 3nikki. Follow us on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at the3nikki. And you can listen to each one of our episodes on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and make sure to check our website out where you can find the links to everything at 3, the number 3, inthekey.ca. And that wraps it up. For Will Macklin, I'm Elias Elzane. Peace.